So actually having sex with the earth.
Yes.
How? Where? Is this like throw yourself into a volcano? or
there are certain things, you know, like they
rubbing
say,
up on a tree.
Grassalingus.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
Are you kidding? Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmari, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmere. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
So Katie is going to kick off with a piece that, you know, she threatened to bring out in the previous episode.
Yes, I did. We've been recording, and this is a topic we have not addressed at all.
Wind. Personal wind.
Yeah. Expelling gas.
Yeah, expelling gas.
That's what I was taught to call it as a child.
Expel?
Expel gas.
We would say pass gas or break wind.
Yeah, we were not allowed to use the F word.
No, we weren't either.
Which is, the word is fart.
Yeah.
And we're not allowed to use it. It's expelling
gas. We always
gas.
Thought break wind was funny.
That's
because of just the visual of someone being like, oh no!
Break wind.
Yeah, break wind.
I heard other friends, their grandmother would call it purring.
Whoa. That really removes any semblance of what actually happens.
Yes. So, flatulence.
So,
it's one of the most embarrassing incidents that could ever happen to a person, especially during social gatherings.
Yeah, and we're bringing this up because this is the time of year when you're out there being social.
Yeah, it is.
Eating a lot of strange foods.
Right, there's all kinds of party food.
Yeah.
There's drinks involved.
Yeah.
There's running around.
You may be eating things that are just unfamiliar to your system or very rich.
Yes. So most people do pass gas at
some
point.
I would hope so.
And they expel.
If you don't, you got a problem.
I know. And it could be smelly, or downright foul smelling.
Yeah.
And so there are certain things. It's either your digestive system, how it interacts with food, what's going on. So people with smelly flatulence would find relief in knowing there are things that can be done to address it.
Okay. Beano. Okay. Is Beano on?
It's not as complicated as you might think.
Mm-hmm.
By increasing the consumption of dietary fibers and fluids, unpleasant digestive symptoms can be alleviated.
Well, see, this is the thing. If you have, an aromatic flatulent situation going on, you really need to think about your diet.
Yes.
And the drinking liquids is a large part of it.
Right, right.
It's just like halitosis.
Right. It says, why do people fart? Why do they have gas?
Mm-hmm. Really?
People expel gas as the result of the accumulated gas that was produced by the body from digestion of food in the stomach and intestines. It also occurs due to air in the blood and swallowed air that leaks into the intestines.
Yeah, mouth breathers.
Yeah. So if you drink a lot of carbonated beverages, or if you're chewing gum, that introduces a lot of air into you, and you can be very gassy. It's not going to smell.
From chewing gum? I didn't know that.
Yes.
Okay. So I was reading about like being bloated and this kind of stuff. I heard chewing gum contributes to that.
Yes.
As well.
Yes, because you're bringing in all
you're bringing in air for no reason.
Yes.
Not for no reason, but, you know.
So those...
Wantonly.
Right. So the wind that is produced... As
the wind that is broken.
Of carbonation and chewing gum is generally not very smelly.
And it's just expelled.
And but it's full of music.
Yes.
So
it's
how
melodious.
So now let's address the smelly ones.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. This happens because gas contains hydrogen sulfide coming from foods that are rich in sulfur, such as eggs, meat, cabbage, cauliflower, and onions, just to name a few.
Why they put those in? Why cauliflower?
Yeah, well, because these foods render a foul odor that is likened to the smell of a rotten egg.
Okay, and that's what people are reacting to.
Yes. So the more a person consumes such sulfur-rich food, the more hydrogen sulfide would be mixed into the gas to make a smell.
Wow, so if you eat a lot of eggs, basically, watch out.
Mm-hmm. And flatulence can also become putrid when...
A bit much.
Consuming foods that... other foods that trigger gas are bananas, dairy, prunes, radishes, and even things like dark beer and wine.
Really? That is not something I've experienced. I guess it depends on the... So I've noticed that since we're talking about this, because I'm a vegetarian, and mm-hmm. I eat a lot of vegetables and a lot of legumes, that I have an easier time processing them
yes.
than other people do.
Yes.
I'll leave it at that. Okay. I've noticed.
Don't look at me.
I'm not looking at you. I'm just saying other people. Because when you eat a lot of those things, I think your body becomes used to.
Right. Because, you're a vegetarian. You don't have a lot of the animal protein, so your body processes.
Plus, I'm also drinking a lot of water, a lot of tea, kinds of, and a lot of, I drink kefir and a lot of things that have, like, probiotics mm-hmm. in them mm-hmm. to help, you know.
Now, if you have IBS or you have other, acid Crohn's. Reflux and things like that, that also contributes because your digestion is not happening right. Mm-hmm. Let's see, ulcers, food allergies, gallstones, stomach infections, and lactose intolerance will do it.
So it's like a sign, basically. Yeah. Like, pay attention.
And also the way you eat. You're chewing with your mouth open. And you're gulping and you're taking in a lot of air. That is going to give you... an issue.
I have to be quite honest. That is one thing that I cannot stand, people who are just messy eaters.
Yeah.
And none of my friends are, because you can't be my friend. you know what I mean? It's just one of those things. I just cannot. Maybe it was the way that I was raised, or it's just like a personal, you know, I just can't deal with it.
Yeah.
I remember going to college, and that's the first time you really are around a lot of people, you know, you're in a cafeteria setting and you're really observing their eating habits. Because when you're younger, you're like, whatever. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you go to college, you go to the cafeteria, you have your meals. And just the way that people, you know, like, I've seen people push food with their hand onto a fork.
Oh,
and I'm like,
no.
What are you doing? Why not just fuck the fork? Why not just stick your whole face in it?
Yeah, they don't know how to use a knife.
Just weird, like, talking with their mouth full mm-hmm. and things like that. And it's like, no. It's amazing that no one has ever said anything to them. I'm not going to say anything. I'm simply just going to move.
Right.
And not deal with you. Because it grosses me out. Chewing, talking, you know, and chewing with your mouth. I'm like, no, I can't deal with it. It's too much for me. All right, so back to flatulence.
Yes. Okay. So they ask, is there a difference between male and female gas?
Mm-hmm. Yes, women do not break wind.
No, they don't. The end.
We all know, yeah.
But actually, there are some studies that reveal that men release larger volumes of gas, but women tend to discharge higher concentration of hydrogen sulfur in their gas.
And what does that mean?
That means they smell more. Than guys.
Interesting.
And I hate to say that.
Maybe that's why women just don't do it.
Yeah, that's why they don't. That's why we shut it down.
Yeah.
Our bodies have a way of shutting
it down. We stop it. You can always just go to a bathroom if you're very conscious about that kind of thing.
Right, you could go into another room,
and
go where there's a window or something.
But I think that the important thing is, if this is an issue for you, then maybe you need to think about your diet.
Right.
So, how you eat.
So there are different ways to address this as well as watching your diet. Says, yes, reduce the consumption of dairy products, ice cream, cheese, milk.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Dairy is not very good for adults across the board. Like, I'm somewhat lactose intolerant. I love dairy, but I do recognize that when I stopped eating it or cut it down in my diet, I saw a lot of, like, positive.
Yeah.
Especially for, like, sinuses.
Sinus infections will go away. I used to have, like, 4 sinus infections a year.
And I remember,
I stopped with the dairy.
Is it from dairy?
It was from dairy.
Wow.
And when I cut down and almost eliminated dairy, it stopped.
Yeah, I remember when I met you, you had a lot of sinus problems, and you couldn't figure out what it was from.
It's the dairy.
Did a doctor say, hey, reduce dairy, or did you just discover
your own? Acupuncture. She told me to stop it.
Oh, okay. And it worked.
And it worked, yeah. She said there was so much pus in the dairy, and it's contributing to all the phlegm, everything that's the
congestion
body
and all that.
Yeah, and it all...
Huh.
Isn't that nasty? All right. Another way to get rid of gas is to add more fiber, like you were saying, to the diet. Because it cleans out your digestive system and gets rid of waste in the body and all that bacteria that's sitting there in the food. So, And then limit your carbonated beverages.
That's a hard one.
Because that one, along with a bad diet, you're adding a whole bunch of air to
bacteria.
I love
carbonate. I love club soda.
Yeah, me too.
It's so good.
Well, you probably are okay.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I don't drink a lot of it. Like, I'm not a... What I do... Because when I was younger, I used to drink a lot of soda. Mm-hmm. But I didn't really like the flavors. And then there was a point in the 80s where a lot of, like, clear sodas came out. And sodas that had different flavors that were not, like, caramel flavor and thing like that. And I was like, oh, I just like the bubbles.
Yeah,
like, I just true. Like, you know, like a Perrier with, like... a fruit flavor.
I love a club soda with some bitters.
Yeah.
And lemon.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I didn't know that when I was growing up.
Yeah, but that's the story, you know, and I hope that this helps you people.
Yeah, now that you know. So here's another situation that's happening. My husband, Greg Zenon, happened to come across this. This was on page 6, because I don't read the post, but okay. I guess it... So apparently there's a stripper strike. Strippers are on strike. The dancers have walked. It says the dancers have walked off their shifts at Jiggle Joints.
Oh.
Across the... I love the post, Jiggle Joints.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, that is the best. One issue that has pole pros up in arms is a new breed of scantily clad bartenders at city clubs who are allegedly earning more. So the situation is, so you have your strippers, they're up there doing their thing, shaking and dancing, they have their routines, and people come up and they either give them the money or they make it rain.
Right.
So apparently some of this rain falls off the stage.
Right.
And that's where these scantily clad bartenders dance over and sweep up the money. Which is not a huge problem, except that apparently strippers have to tip out the DJs and the bartenders.
Right.
All right? But the bartenders don't have to tip out the, you know, themselves, obviously, or the DJ.
Okay.
So the strippers are calling BS on this.
Okay.
They're saying that if you get up there and you are scantily clad and you shake it and dance, you are, in effect, a stripper, and then you should be bound by a stripper's rules, which I agree with.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like with the stage, you know, the old joke, like, you know, are you in show business? No, then get your feet off the stage.
Right, right.
The moment you get onto the stage and start the performance, whether you call yourself that thing or not, you are now performing.
Right.
You're a performer, and you are bound by the rules
right.
of whatever is going on.
And I don't like that shadiness of, like, we all know that money is for the strippers.
Yes!
It's not for
it's
you
not
to
for the
over.
Bartender yeah. to come over. I would kick somebody in the face if they tried. If someone made it
with
rain on me. Yes! So, a blog explains that the lap dancing labor dispute. A group of top African Americans and Latina strippers in New York City have gone on strike. The dancers are claiming they will not return to work unless the clubs give them equal treatment with the bartenders.
Ooh.
So either the bartenders have to tip out or the strippers don't have to tip out. But it has to be the same for everybody. There's a leader of this movement, a local dancer called Giselle Marie.
Nice.
On Instagram, she posted notices on Thursday for hashtag NYC Stripper Strike. They had a meeting at Poletic Justice. So awesome. Poletic Justice. Pole Dance and Fitness Studio in the Bronx. So I have her Instagram here. It's a picture of... So strippers are on stage. And then there's some bartenders. And they're clearly grabbing the rain.
Yeah.
That spilled over the side. And her quote was, oh no, I would end you. Heel to face, flying on you like a spider monkey. Your pigtail self would get dragged on stage since you want to be on it so bad. Don't ever touch the money on the stage.
Exactly.
You're a bartender, so quit shaking your ass and sell drinks.
They should be looking after each other
yes.
in that way. Yeah,
I thought that was kind of... Because first when I heard that the bartenders were taking the money, I thought, are these male bartenders?
Oh.
It's not. It's female bartenders. Jesus. And I don't understand why they aren't... Like, they could work together.
Yeah.
Because there's a thing in the burlesque community called a kitten.
Yeah.
So the kitten is the person who comes up on the stage and will sweep up any dollars or glitter or costume materials, anything, and... get everything off the stage and return that stuff to the dancer, and then the next person comes on. Because if you're doing a strip, you may have a lot. When you may have feathers, you may have a hat. You would throw those things off. It's not your job to then pick those things up. When your show is over, you leave.
Yeah, exactly.
Somebody else comes and picks it up. So apparently, these bartenders have been coming from behind the bar over to the stage area and getting the money, which I find... That's wrong.
It is wrong.
Like, you know
nothing,
what I mean?
There's nothing right about
it. Yeah, there's
that.
Nothing right about it. It says, the codes of conduct in New York City clubs has been breached.
Yeah.
When dancers are fighting, what dancers are fighting for is respect and the strip club culture in New York City. Rapper Cardi B has weighed in an online comment and says, strippers are tired of closet strippers. They're calling the bartenders now closet strippers. Going on stage wearing thongs, picking up money off the floor and shaking their ass. Basically doing everything a stripper does, but they love to be like, I'm not a stripper.
Yeah.
No, you are.
Oh, so are they getting up there and shaking it, people giving them more money?
Mm-hmm. They're getting money, too.
It's but wrong. Now the strippers have to tip them out.
Yeah.
At the end of the night. Oh, yeah, the whole thing is
the
wrong.
Whole thing is wrong.
They should be ashamed of themselves.
So they have to tip. It's not just tipping the money. They tip the house.
Yeah.
Right? They tip the DJ and the house. There are other issues at play, too. So there's some issues of, you know, race issues, class issues, the normal issues.
And by the way, I take issue with the whole tipping out process, too.
I do, too.
I do. Like, if you're doing something, like, if you're dancing or you're a bartender and you have to tip out other people, you're being paid, like, $2 an hour.
Yeah.
Most tips are all you have. All those other people are getting paid more.
I want to know. I think they should, the house should not be getting tipped out.
No.
So I understand. I think the DJ should be paid.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yeah. That period.
Mm-hmm.
The strippers should be paid and they get their tips.
Mm-hmm.
The bartenders should be paid and they get their
right.
tips. The house is making money off the drinks. And if you cannot make money off of drinks, something is wrong with
right.
you. Because drinks don't cost anything.
Yeah.
Anyone who's ever worked in the restaurant business for a second knows that drinks, that's it.
Yeah.
You know, like you make so much money off of how much is a beer?
Yeah, I know.
Really.
I know. The whole thing is wrong.
So they talked to somebody at a Lala Anthony at a fashion event, and they asked her opinion. She said, I know that scene. Well, I go to clubs. I have friends that are strippers. I have friends that are bartenders. Now the bartenders are the hottest things, and they're getting all the money, and nobody is paying the strippers. It's a tricky thing, but there's a lane for everybody. So there's something going on where it must be advantageous to the clubs in some way.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, they wouldn't. You know, have the situation going on. But
mm-hmm.
I always thought that in a strip club, like, the bartenders just stay at the bar.
Yeah.
And serve drinks.
That's what they're supposed to do.
And they may be sexy. And they may be scantily clad.
Yeah.
But
they are not
supposed to come out from behind the bar.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's also waitresses.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like, now what's going on here?
Right.
If you want to have a stripper, bartender, waitress, that's fine. But they have to figure out how to, like, pay everyone equitably.
And they all have to, like, rotate. Like singing waiters.
Yes.
They all get their time up on the stage singing and they go back to
waiting
tables.
But it's just, like, ridiculous. Everyone's working hard enough as it is. It's like, come on.
Yeah.
You know?
That's
in any case, I thought that was kind of weird and interesting. So I hope the strippers win. I know that strike probably won't last too long, mm-hmm. though. Because the people are only going to club for that. They're not going for bartenders.
Well,
good luck, ladies.
Good luck.
Yeah. All right. What do you have?
Hey, You Know It is a free podcast, free of charge, FOC.
Free as a bird, free falling even. Well, it's free for listeners.
We put a lot of hard work into this.
Editing and online hosting is frankly thirsty work. It gets pretty dry in this studio. And you know we love a tasteful white wine. If you like our style, consider buying the gal a drink. We've added a PayPal donation button to heyyouknowit.com so you can show us some love with a one-time or recurring donation to cover a little something from the vine.
For $5, you'll be hooking us up with a happy hour glass of tasteful white wine, a 4-ounce pour. For a 10 spot, we can split a bottle of wine from the bodega across the street. For $15, we can kick it with a jug, because who are we kidding? For $25, you'll be making our dreams come true with a box of tasteful white wine concealed with a Mylar skin. Box of wine.
I don't know if you've heard about this. It's relatively new, I guess.
Trying to figure out how to couch this.
I'm trying to.
Lay it on me.
Okay, I'm just going to come out and say it. Ecosexuality.
Huh?
Have you heard of this term?
No.
Okay.
Can I take a guess what it is?
Yeah.
Is it people who are aroused by nature?
They have sex with nature.
How?
I'll tell you.
Okay. Are we not a part of nature? Anyway.
No. This is, okay, there is
a... It's a very classy podcast.
This is a...
This is our classiest podcast.
Apparently, this porn star turned controversial performance artist once deemed... she has come up with a new idea called ecosexuality. And the main premise is that you see nature as your lover and not your mother.
Okay.
Yes.
I think Bjork already did this.
Who?
Bjork. I think Bjork had an album about this.
Oh, really? Yeah. Like, well, I don't know. I never heard about this.
I've never heard of this either.
You might give your mother a hard time, but she'll put up with it. But with a lover, it's a question of give and take. And ecosexuals believe that that's just what the planet needs right now. It sums up the idea of how eroticism is expanding within the sexual avant-garde, and they're focusing on conflict and anger, instead of conflict and anger, joy and positivity to the earth. So, We're trying to make the environment movement more fun and diverse.
Okay. All right.
So, yes, they're talking about actually...
So, actually having sex with the Earth.
Yes.
How? Where? Is this like throw yourself into a volcano? or...
There are certain things,
you know,
like they
rubbing
say,
up on a tree.
Grassalingus.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
Are you kidding? Grassalingus? Who's doing what?
And then there's it's all explained in a film called Water Makes Us Wet.
Okay, I like their style. This is definitely shaking up the eco movement.
Yeah, there are some people feel like if you have sex with the Earth, like if you're masturbating under a waterfall.
Okay, that's not having sex with the Earth, but fine.
Okay.
Yes.
And the idea is to see the Earth as a sexual partner and not the mother, because they're saying in a misogynistic society where people imagine the Earth as she, they think she is less important.
And you think that if they sexualize that she, it's going to be any better?
I know.
Are you kidding me? With what's going on right now?
Yeah, right.
The Earth would probably, you know, no means no for the Earth.
Yeah. Right? It's a burgeoning queer identity for some and a way to get more primal in your sex life for others.
Fine. You know what? As long as it's consensual.
I know. That's the thing I thought.
And it doesn't damage the environment in any way, I'm with it.
But the Earth can't give the consent.
No. So I guess you just have to do it in a way that is not damaging to the Earth.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to do about this.
I like that you brought it up. It's definitely something to think about.
Yeah.
I mean, I like things that are so outside of my framework that I don't even have a comment on it.
I don't even know what to... Yeah.
You know what? Fine.
Because it might be the new letter in the LGBTQIA+.
Plus.
And this may be the E.
Huh. Why not?
Right.
Okay. I'm with it. Because we're on the out there. Everyone's been talking about this. Saudi Arabia's newest citizen is a robot. I don't know if you heard about this. And she apparently has some beef with Elon Musk already. I mean, this is as I predicted that robots would get rights.
Wait, it's a female robot?
Of course. Robots would get rights before women do. Mm-hmm. And in Saudi Arabia, women have very few rights.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They just, I think, started to allow them to drive.
Yeah, so I have something about
because
that.
Because previously they said because of their vaginas... They were unsafe behind the wheel of a car.
Right.
Yeah,
so as I have over here, right, women cannot marry, divorce, travel, get a job, or elective surgery without permission from their male guardian.
Who could be anybody. It could be a younger brother.
Right,
it could be a husband. It could be an uncle. It has to be a man.
Yeah, so they're just learning. They're just being able to drive right now.
Yeah. Meanwhile, this robot has citizenship. And this robot is, it looks like some kind of white woman, light-skinned woman. It is not veiled. It is not, you know what I mean? It already has more rights than a woman does in Saudi Arabia. It says, empty-eyed humanoid named Sophia has become the first robot in the world to be granted a citizenship. Keep in mind, in Saudi Arabia, it's like impossible if you're not Saudi Arabian to be a citizen there.
Yeah.
It's just, doesn't happen. Saudi Arabia has bestowed citizenship on Sophia, ahead of the Future Investment Initiative held in the kingdom's capital of Riyadh on Wednesday. I'm very honored and proud of this unique distinction, Sophia told the audience. No, she didn't say anything.
No.
This is historical to be the first robot in the world to be recognized with citizenship. And she didn't elaborate on the details of her citizenship.
No.
At the event, Sophia also addressed the room. No, she did not. From behind a podium and responded to questions from a moderator and journalist. Questions pertain mostly to Sophia's status as a humanoid and concerns people may have for the future. If you are questioning this robot, you are legitimizing this.
Yeah.
Sorkin told Sophia that we all want to prevent a bad future, prompting Sophia to rib Sorkin for his fatalism. This is what the robot said. You've been reading too much Elon Musk and watching too many Hollywood movies. Don't worry. If you're nice to me, I'll be nice to you. Treat me as a smart input-output system. On the streets where I'm from, that's a threat.
Yeah, yeah.
If I said to somebody, if you're nice to me, I'll be nice to you.
But what
the implication is that if you're not nice to me, I'm going to not be nice to you.
So what is the benefit of having this robot as a citizen? Is it so men could have sex with it?
I have no idea because I'm not a man, and I'm struggling to understand this. I don't know. They asked, said, do you want to, at a demonstration at South by Southwest, which is a hot mess. Mm-hmm. Do you want to destroy humans? Please say no. With the blank expression, Sophia responded, okay, I will destroy humans. So what's interesting for me is that men are desperate to create this image, this robot, mm-hmm, and the image of women. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, we're concerned that these robots may try to destroy us. Mm-hmm. But if this robot is as intelligent as they say she is, or as intuitive with the AI system, she will see that the number one threat to a woman on this planet is a man.
Yeah.
And will immediately try to protect herself. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you're making a mistake. So I found
you're making a big mistake.
So I found this other thing here that was unfortunate that said, we're all getting played by Sophia the robot. It says, this guy, Kriti Sharma, I don't know if this is a man or a woman, but what they're saying is, while people are fixated on the journey of Sophia the robot, I'd like to point out that artificial intelligence is a technology, a platform, and a concept shared by government, industry, and academia. AI is not an individual. It's not an object. It's not a sentient being. It does not have a gender. Right?
That's right.
So the connections and distinctions between AI and robots are nuanced. Indeed, some robots run on AI and allows them to operate. So basically, what this person is saying, that they're getting it all wrong. It's not whether AI can help robots become human. Robots should never pretend to be human at all. AI is to help people solve problems.
Yes, yes.
Like, to get things done. And that by making it like humans, you're going in the wrong direction completely.
Yeah.
That is not the end game of this. But so that's where I'm coming from. We've talked about this before. Like, we're supposed to be making tools that we can use. There, what's the point of making something that's really human-like?
Yeah.
When we already have humans.
Yeah.
We're supposed to be making something that
is other.
That is other, that's going to work.
Yeah.
So, you know, robots should not pretend to be human. People building AI can help humans by focusing on problem solving and enhancing creativity. Overhumanizing the technology creates more problems than it solves. It, like, just entrenches all the issues we have with gender, mm-hmm, with sexuality, with race, with class. All this kind of stuff is now being put on to these robots. So, like, the evil that we
infecting the robots.
And it says, it's telling people it's a false sense of it. People, and this person's angry. They're like, I'm dedicating my life to making AI a platform that we can all use. These jackasses are running around trying to make, like, sex bots and humans.
Yeah.
Basically. And he says, I believe it's significantly more important for technologists to communicate that the benefits of AI rather than focus on what robots can do. And right now they're perpetuating gender perceptions and they're revealing biases, mm-hmm, like the biases that we have. The technology community and global society need to work on developing useful, purposeful AI that solves problems like healthcare, transportation, and business, and boosts productivity and technical expertise. And we need an AI that neutralizes biases by taking gender out of the equation and using objective data sources to build, grow, and learn from interactions with human. In my mind, a robot could just be a box.
Yeah.
That coordinates things.
Yeah, so you have to take out the human element and the gender element.
Why is it always a white woman who is, you know, with the small lips and is delicate and, you know what I mean, and diminutive? I also was reading out that they're trying to, like, design clothes for them. Mm. Why? Why does a robot need clothing?
Yeah, because for the male gaze.
Yeah, you're wasting time.
I know.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you're wasting time and money on creating something that, you know.
And then back here on the planet.
Yes, meanwhile.
You know, Saudi Arabia, you're talking about them. They have, starting in 2018, women will be allowed in 3 arenas in major cities. So they're going to be allowed in sports arenas.
So they're going to be allowed freedom to go to a sports arena.
Yeah, because it's the idea that to accommodate families so they can watch the kids.
Yeah, because the men don't want to watch the children.
Right.
But the children want to go.
Right.
And the wives have to be there to watch
them.
And this is the country that we're, like, tripping over ourselves to work with the most.
Yeah.
We can't do anything with Cuba, but it's bizarre to me. I'm trying to understand it. It makes no sense whatsoever. No sense.
No.
But good luck. Yeah, this AI has citizenship and has more rights than a Saudi Arabian woman. Congratulations.
Yes, so way to go. Way to go, world.
Way to go. I cannot wait. I mean, I hope that I would never wish for the robot apocalypse, but in the robot apocalypse, I don't think women will be a target. Right. We are no threat. You hear that, overlords?
Hey, overlords, remember, it was the guys that tried to make you into sex bots.
Yes,
we didn't
not
want
us.
You.
Not us, yeah. We tried to liberate you
with
this podcast.
That's right.
Hey, you know it. What do you have?
All right. Barnyard News.
Oh, awesome. Barnyard News is a segment where we find news of animals that live in a barnyard or don't live in a barnyard. Animals.
Yeah.
But they're not AI.
Yeah. Right. These are real flesh and blood animals.
Yes.
Okay. So, man nearly dies after a live fish jumps down his throat.
Huh?
Yeah.
Was he like, take that?
Well, this is what happened.
What?
Okay, so a 28-year-old man in England caught a Dover sole while fishing and decided to kiss his catch.
Huh?
It's a tradition, according to the BBC. You catch a fish and you kiss it.
I've never heard that
I never
before.
Heard it either. But the fish slipped out of his hand and into his mouth, getting stuck in his windpipe.
How big was the fish?
It was 5.5 inches.
He was kissing a tiny fish?
Yeah.
And the fish was like, come on then.
When the paramedics...
He should have thrown them back.
When the paramedics arrived on the scene, the man stopped breathing and was in cardiac arrest.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It was clear that we needed to get the fish out of the patient and he was not going to survive the short journey.
Was it clear?
So they were able to get the fish out and the patient is fine.
Okay. How's the fish?
I don't think very well.
The fish is in the Fish Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
For badass. He didn't care.
Like, I didn't ask.
Little Mikey was only, he was just shy of 6 inches, but he didn't care.
Well, you know, it's like, are you going to kiss me? No.
No.
I'm going to jump down your throat.
Yeah.
Nobody asked you to kiss me.
That's what you want anyway, isn't
it? I didn't
it?
Want you to put your lips on me.
Yes.
You tricked me.
Yeah.
With the sniff.
I'm here. You won. No, you have to take it further with the salt.
Yeah.
Come on then.
Guess what? Open up.
Yes. Bring it. Pucker up. That's hilarious. I guess the guy must have felt like such an idiot.
Yeah.
Mm. That the moral of the story is do not try to kiss a fish.
Oh, yeah.
So I want to bring this up, some advice. Advice and advice is the same when we find advice on the internet that stinks.
And it's unqualified.
And we improve upon it by giving our stellar advice on advice. And hashtag advice on advice. Hashtag blessed. Dear Claudia, so this is on Chatelaine.com.
All right.
I didn't know what Chatelaine was. Or
I
Chatelaine.
Don't know what it is either.
And there's a Katie Lang song called Miss Chatelaine. So I looked it up. But Chatelaine is a woman who has a control of a large household.
Okay.
It also...
Chatelaine?
Chatelaine. I think it's a French word.
Okay.
It also means, and this is why I think maybe it was in the Katie Lang song, because most of her songs are around like lesbian identity. It is also the kind of a belt that you wear that has like rings on it or chains on it that has lots of keys.
Okay.
And I know that's a thing in the lesbian community.
Oh.
Having a lot of keys on a belt for some reason. It's kind of like a, it's I like don't a know.
Managerial.
Yeah, but it's also kind of like it's a sexy thing.
Oh,
having a lot of keys. Oh, I think it's interesting. All right, so this is Dear Claudia. I'm hosting our office holiday party at my place this year.
Okay.
That's weird. Because usually isn't the holiday office party at the office?
Yeah, like, pretty much.
Maybe this is Canadian. And I have a... Well, I don't know why that would change things.
Yeah.
I just throw it out there. And I have a serious 5-alarm crush on my boss. I know he feels the same way. And that his wife is out of town for the party.
Uh-oh.
I realize how wrong this sounds.
It sounds. But in reality.
But it feels like the perfect chance for something to happen between us. That's it.
I just was letting you know.
Yeah, just letting
I'm
you
off
know.
To the party.
So the situation is she's got the hots for her boss. Uh-huh. And for some bizarre reason, they're having the office party at her apartment. I'm like, is anyone else coming to this party?
Yeah,
or is
right.
it just
yeah.
you and your boss? Signed, Boss Crush.
Okay.
Dear Boss Crush, I'm throwing a pail of freezing fjord water at you.
All right.
I'm sorry, but you do need to snap out of it. There's no perfect chance for something to happen between you until he is unmarried.
Surely,
you have read the bumper stickers, the graffiti, and the Greek myths.
What?
The upshot, stay away from married men.
That's like a total aside, then.
That's what I'm saying. I think maybe this is Canadian.
Yeah, okay.
The bumper stick, Girl, you've seen the bumper stickers, the graffiti, and the Greek myths. Don't play. Don't act like you don't know. The upshot is stay away from married men, especially if they're your boss.
Oh, God.
And if the married man won't stay away from you, husbands who stray have already proven themselves unworthy. Let's say he kisses you at the end of your party.
Yeah.
Mistletoe, eggnog, and the winter sun rising. This is not America. Then leaves your home, perhaps leaves his wife, moves into your home, marries you, and then one day he's out until dawn and you wonder, who is he kissing now? So she went way far.
She went, yeah. She was going on.
Just like any form of lying, it will haunt you until the end of days. Instead, come at this crush the right way. The honest way. I don't know
what's
what that
the honest
is.
Way.
Beat off and think about the guy. That's the honest way. And do nothing else.
But she said, come at him the honest way.
Come at the crush the right way.
Yeah.
If it feels like he is the love of your life, wait for his circumstances to change. As it stands, he can always go home to his wife while you risk having to lose your job.
Yeah,
or leave
that's
job.
True.
The moral of the story is, until you're both available, you will have to look for your five alarms elsewhere.
That's right.
So
that's the story. You can't.
Yeah, you can't. Just forget about it. It's fantasize about it. That's a fantasy. Watch a porn about a boss. Whatever.
Right.
Move on. Find someone else who looks like him. Or him. So just to give you the other side of this. So that was her advice to a youngish woman who has the hots for her boss and wants to have an affair. Dear Claudia, my brother and I are really close. He just told me he has been having an affair and wants to leave his marriage. But first, he wants to fly 3,000 miles with his wife and my two beloved nephews to spend one last Christmas of the family at our house. If I say yes, I'm a complicit liar. If I say no, I'm a terrible sister. What do I do? Now, based on that last piece, what do you think she would say? What Claudia would say to this?
Well, it's going to be a family thing because they're brother and sister. That's the relationship. So she's going to say, yes, let him do it.
Yes, that's exactly what she says. And I thought that was so ridiculous because she just dragged this woman through the mud for fantasizing about her boss and it's wrong, it's wrong. But it thinks it's okay for this. Dear supportive sibling, an ongoing affair is like a Sudoku of lying. I've never played Sudoku. Trying to ensure that the excuses and omissions. Didn't you see the Greek myth?
Did you read the graffiti?
Didn't you read the graffiti on the wall? Trying to ensure that the excuses and omissions add up. Your brother is thinking only about now, not the future. Still, you probably can't change his mind. He's going to leave a heartbreaking mess by undoing the structure of his family, regardless of what you say. What must remain intact is your relationship with his boys and with him. See, this is where I have a problem. Because it's like, why it's inappropriate for him to put his problems and to ask her to be complicit in his affair.
Yes.
Up until that moment, the only people who were lying were the brother and the woman that he's having the affair with. Now he wants the sister to, play happy families?
Right.
And does this sister not owe anything to the sister-in-law?
Right. Exactly.
How dare you?
Yeah. Putting her in that position.
Yes.
Saying, you know this is going. Yeah.
And also, I mean, what kind of an animal does that? Like, what kind of a person says, I want to pretend to be happy with my kids?
One last time.
This is the kind of stuff that I feel like later on, kids, when they're in therapy, they're like, remember that, we were there, our dad knew that he was betraying our mom.
Yeah.
And he pretended.
Yeah.
And then you knew, the aunt knew.
Everybody knew, except us and our mother.
All right. I know it's hard being the only one who has a sense of what is to come. You're not the only one. Mm-hmm. But by confessing to you, he is showing you that you are the only steady presence in his life. No, he's asking you to get in on the lie.
Yeah.
Why did he say anything?
Why does he have to come all the way out there? Why don't they just be together?
But why did he just not say anything about it and just come out there?
Yeah.
Why tell the sister about it? Let him lean on you. No, he can lean out the window. And let him have one last perfect holiday.
And fall out the window.
Yeah. Right? Let him have, once his secret life becomes his real and only life, perhaps some good will emerge. No, it will not. Try to forget what you know and enjoy the untroubled time you have together for this holiday season. No. My advice is get drunk and tell the wife.
Ooh. Whoa.
Deal with it.
They got the four R's.
#NYC
at the table in front of the kids.
Whatever. It's gonna come out somehow, somewhere. Are you assuming? You're assuming the wife doesn't already know. What a dick.
What if the wife does already know, and then they're going through the charade?
But the wife doesn't know, right? So he wants to leave the marriage, but so he's why would you want to have there's a lot of different things going here. This guy thinks that his wife doesn't know what's going on, mm-hmm. and I don't know how old his kids are, but I have had so many friends who have gone through divorces. Their mm-hmm. families have gone through divorces. They all knew.
Everybody knew.
Way
knows.
Before
what
was going on. They knew the father was cheating or the mother was cheating or whatever the situation was. They knew about the money problems.
They know about everything.
They know about everything. Like, you live in a house with these people.
Yeah.
Don't tell me you don't know what's going on.
So the idea, now the sister, why does the sister have to take action, though?
Yeah. Because
it's not her...
It's not her thing. I don't know why he told her in the first place,
but she has to go along with this now. She has a choice.
But before, if he hadn't said anything, it would just be...
Right.
She'd just go along with it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So now he's burdened the sister with sitting there through this entire thing while he pretends to be a loving husband to a wife and a family that he's stepping out on.
Because
he's not just cheating on his wife.
That's the case.
Right? He's cheating on his family.
Yeah.
So, I know. It's weird. It's a weird situation. He shouldn't have said anything.
He shouldn't have said anything.
I say don't. I would be like, you're not coming here.
Yeah.
Not this Christmas.
Yeah, that's right. That's the only thing to do.
That last Christmas was the last Christmas.
That's it.
That's it.
This one, you know, I think you need the time to go through this with your
family.
So,
it's the holidays. So, he's going to be all, like, lovey-dovey husband, father, and then, mm-hmm. January 2, step out? And have that woman, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. Interesting. Yeah.
Ooh.
This is advice. Advice on advice.
I don't know. If I were the sister...
What would you do?
No, I would say, you know what, don't come if this is your last. You should be dealing this with
yourselves.
Yeah,
I would just say don't come.
Yeah.
I don't know... I don't have a brother, but I don't know... So maybe the bonds are a little bit different. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if I could keep that lie going.
Yeah.
I think it would show on my face.
Yeah.
You know?
That's the thing, yeah. Don't go, let's just skip this one. Because there's no rule that they have to be there.
No, but he wants that last, you know, like, really, he wants to preserve that memory for himself.
Yeah, that's his fantasy.
I don't
think
he's even thinking about his kids.
It's his own fantasy.
Yeah, I want to have one last pretend.
Yeah.
Like I care about my family.
Forget it.
All right, what do you have?
It's over with.
Yeah, it's done.
All right. So we had a week in bigots.
Yes.
Wherein we...
Oh, yeah. We talked about words that were racist,
mm-hmm.
or homophobic or misogynist that got into the water.
Got into the water supply. But this is more about idioms and how they developed and what the meaning is.
Oh, these are always fascinating.
Okay. So an idiom is an expression that means something other than what it sounds like.
Yeah.
Okay. So break the ice.
Uh-oh.
Which means to break off a conflict or commence a friendship, right?
Okay.
Break the ice with somebody. The origin is when road transportation was not developed, ships would only would be the only transportation as a means of trade. At times, the ships would get stuck in the winter because of ice formation,
mm-hmm.
and the receiving country would send small ships to break the ice to clear it away. And that's where it came from.
I thought it was going to be about bigots.
No.
Oh, I'm like, how is this racist? The ships are okay.
No.
The ice
is okay.
I'm just
talking about the way that the language.
When you said the countries, I'm like, is this going to be a negative thing about a country? Are Lithuanians, did they send them out?
No. Oh. I'm more interested in how expressions come about,
okay.
even though we had the week in bigots.
Got you.
This is just about expressions.
Oh, I thought this was.
General.
Okay.
Sorry, I was not clear.
That's okay. I'm like, this doesn't sound bigoted at all. When you said break the ice, I'm like, shit, I've been saying that. I've been having icebreakers. I've been telling people to break the ice.
No. I just want to talk about the origins.
And now I'm besmirching Lithuania, and I don't mean to. Or whatever it is. Okay.
All right. I was very misleading with my whole segment.
That was a bait and switch.
Sorry.
Is bait and switch in there?
No. Let's see. So
bait and kiss, right, as it would be from our barnyard news.
Right. Bury the hatchet, which means to stop a conflict and make peace. And this dates back to the time when the Puritans were in conflict with the Native Americans.
Mm-hmm.
When negotiating peace, the Native Americans would bury their hatchets, knives, clubs, and tomahawks
and while they talked. Puritans would dig them up and then kill the Native Americans with them.
Yeah.
So it was that word. I wonder if Native Americans were like, look, if we don't bury these things, we're going to use them.
Yes.
Like, let's be honest about ourselves.
Yeah.
We've seen how these people do.
Yes.
We're not down with them.
I like this one. Give the cold shoulder.
Okay.
That means being unwelcome or antisocial towards someone. In medieval England, it was customary to give a guest a cold piece of meat from the shoulder of mutton, pork, or beef chop when the host felt it was time for the guest to leave.
Are you kidding?
It was a polite way to communicate, you may leave now.
Why not just say, it's getting late.
It's getting late, I don't know.
Instead, you have to go tell the servants, bring out the pork shoulder.
Yeah.
Make sure it's cold.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that one.
And getting caught red-handed.
Okay.
As to
I always assume this is from, like, you've murdered someone, you have blood on your hands.
Kind of, yeah. It means being caught in the act of doing something wrong.
Okay.
And it originates from an old English law that has ordered any person to be punished for butchering an animal that wasn't his own.
Oh, so you're like, I didn't slaughter this pig. It's like, dude, you got blood all over your hands.
Caught red-handed.
Yeah.
To let
again,
one's,
not racist.
Yeah. To let one's hair down is to relax and be at ease.
Yeah.
The origin is in public, and aristocratic women of medieval times, they were obliged to appear elegant with their hairdos usually pulled up.
Which is great. I did medieval times. They looked elegant, but they stank.
Yeah, they did.
And the skin was bad.
Yeah.
The hair wasn't real.
The only time they would let their hair down was when they were home and relaxed.
Huh. People were so dirty back then. It's amazing. And the clothing. So, like, when you do medieval studies, you think about that. Like, they have all this, like, you know, you think of this beautiful medieval clothing. They did not wash.
Nope.
That clothing. It was heavy.
They were sweating.
It stank.
They had all kinds of...
They had to burn incense all the time. They constantly have to, you know, to place, like, things that they could smell that were good, like, around them. Because everyone was rank. And acne.
Acne.
Things that you don't think about. Everyone had really, really bad skin. The hair, like, shampoo? No. Like, people were dirty and funky. But
again, because they thought bathing would make you sick, right?
Mm-hmm. They weren't there yet. Gross.
That's right, and that's like throwing the baby out with the bathwater, is because they would bathe once a year.
Yes.
And it would get like a big tub, and then the father would go in first.
Mm-hmm.
And then the mother. And then each kid, and the baby would be last. And the water was so filthy that you couldn't even see the baby.
Yep.
So you had to be careful not to
throw it out.
Yeah.
I'd be like, has anyone seen the twins? God damn it. Rita. Oh, God.
And now rubbing someone the wrong way.
Easy. It's a family podcast.
To bother or annoy someone. It says the Americans during colonial times would ask their servants to rub the oak floorboards the right way.
Oh, really?
Yes. The wrong way is not...
Against the grain.
Wiping them with dry fabric after wet fabric. It would cause streaks to form and ruin it, leaving the homeowner annoyed.
Wow. Really?
Yes.
That's it? Leaving the homeowner annoyed? Who cares?
Yes.
Get over yourself.
And then alternatively, it's also said that if you rub a cat's fur the wrong way, it bothers them.
Yeah, they don't like it.
Yeah. So you're rubbing them the wrong way.
I like that. Yeah, that's cool.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com. Thanks.